you're a child and want to go to the children's worship, then you can be dismissed to do that at this time. Samuel, Cynthia's not here. Would you go get me some water, please? Cynthia usually brings my water to me, and she had oral surgery on Friday. And I forgot to tell our prayer lady about that. So I've already got the... I won't know. I got kicked this morning. So gently kicked. But anyway, she's at home and recovering. Would like for you to pray for her, though, because the medications, antibiotics, and stuff not setting well with her. And so, but it's something that she has to take anyway. they had to do a root canal from the top down. Yeah, they've already done two root canals, 3 years ago and a year, 3 years ago and 2 years ago, but it didn't take. So they had to redo it, but this time they had to cut her gums and go in from the roots down. So she's in some pain. She's very quiet right now, though. So, but she's normally quiet anyway. Anyway, would appreciate your prayers for her. And somebody asked this morning, can we just pray for your wife as a congregation? And I think that would, she would be blessed by that, and I would be as well. So let's just take a few minutes, and I'm going to ask Miss Carolyn, would you, Miss Pam, would you pray for my wife? Amen. Amen. Well, we're still in the book of Hebrews. We've been preaching through the book of Hebrews for the last year. We're now in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I guarantee you we're going to finish this year. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you got it. Thank you. Many of you will enjoy this topic today. We're going to be talking about sports. Super Bowl's coming up pretty soon. And of course, we don't know who's going to be in it at this time. But, you know, Roger's not here, but I was going to pick on him today because he told Lynette, and you can tell him I said this. He told Lynette before football season started, if you've got anything to say, say it now, because I don't want to be interrupted when football season starts. He didn't really say that, but I wanted to at least give him a little, yeah. New Year, I read this exercise for people over 60. Okay, are you ready? Take a 2-pound potato bag, one in each hand, lift it up, and when you can do it for a minute, move to a 5-pound potato bag, hold it for a minute, and you can do that, move to 10-pound, then 25-pound, then a 50-pound, and that's where I'm at right now, 50-pound potato bag. 100-pound, and then that's the key. After you can do the 100-pound potato bag, put a potato in it. So, just kind of help you get your new year started off right. Yeah. Sports was a big deal in Paul's day. As a matter of fact, they had Olympics during Paul's day. Even during the time of Jesus, there was Olympics. Do you know when Olympics started? 776 BC. 776 BC. It's been going on for many years. And so oftentimes when Paul is writing, and we don't really know whether Hebrews is of Paul or who. I kind of think it's a Barnabas myself, but that's somebody else. That's just what I'm thinking. I don't know. Nobody knows. But Paul talks about the Christian life being like a wrestling match. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits. He talks about us, a boxing match, the Christian life being like a boxing match where we're beating like shadow boxing, getting fit to run this Christian race. In the Olympics of old, they had javelin throws. They had chariot races. We don't have those anymore. They had, of course, foot races. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is a foot race. This is where the author of Hebrews picks up, Hebrews chapter 12. And if you would, listen as I read Hebrews chapter 12. And actually, we're not going to read through 29, we're only going to read through 4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with patience or endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. So today we're going to be talking about running to win. Running to win. The first thing I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture is that every Christian has a race to run. Every Christian has a race to run. Jim, you didn't realize it, but when you received Christ as your Savior, you joined His race. And now you are running the race. And every one of us who are children of God are running the race. But this race is unlike any other race around. We don't have to get in physical shape to run this race. We don't have to pump iron. We don't have to run laps. Because it's not a physical race, it's a spiritual race. And the race is that you are growing your spiritual muscles just as someone who's entering into the Olympics might grow their physical muscles. You are now in a race to grow your spiritual muscles. Okay? And a neat thing about this race is that every person, regardless of age, can be in this race. Whether you're 4 years old or you're 94 years old or 104 years old, you can be in this race. In a physical race, what is the peak, like 25 years old, whenever you peak in your endurance and your abilities and those kind of things? I don't know. 48. So now you're going downhill. But in a spiritual race, in this spiritual race, if you're 90 years old and you've been in the race for a while, you're going to be excelling others who have only been in the race for a little while. So you only get better as you progress in this race. Isn't that wonderful? That you don't have to be all fit and trim to get ahead in this race. How many of you, now, there are some people in here who will say, no, I'm not competitive. But I guarantee you, every single one of us in here are competitive. I remember when I was coaching the fourth grade football, they would do their running. I'd run with them. And some of them I beat. A few. But I'm competitive. And you are too. And we don't, never one of us, no one likes to come in dead last. Right? No one likes to come in dead last. And as for me and my Christian life, I don't want to come in dead last. I want to come in first. I'm a competitive guy, but I'm not. You can ask my grandchildren. You can ask my daughter-in-law. It's hard for me to let them win. You know, my wife says, Brad, just let them win sometimes. It's just really hard for me. I don't know what it is. Well, here's what I think. One day they're going to win. And then I'm just going to have to get better. But here's the deal. I don't care how old you are. You can be victorious in the Christian race. I don't care how old you are. Another thing about this race is that we each have our own race. I have my race and you can't run my race. Jason has his race and you can't run his race. Tom has his race and you can't run his race. Did you know Jesus had his race? And he's the only one who could run that race. And he was victorious in his race. Paul had his race. And he was victorious in that race. We just read about in chapter 11 about all of those people of faith. We talked about Noah. We talked about Abraham. We talked about Rahab. I mean, we kind of glanced them. We didn't preach through every one of them or we'd be here for another year. But we look at them and they ran their race. They ran their race well and they were victorious. I want to ask you a question. How many of you want to be victorious in your Christian life? Let's see your hands. Praise the Lord. That's every one of us. We want to be victorious in our Christian life. And did you know that it's possible to do that? It's possible to do that. Now, here's the thing too. Here's a neat thing about this race. I'm not trying to outrun you. I'm trying to encourage you. You're not trying to outrun me. You're trying to encourage me. But some of you are outpacing me, and I say, man, I don't want them to get ahead of me. And you kind of make me jealous because of your relationship with the Lord. You kind of make me jealous because you seem to have a greater intimacy and a greater relationship with the Lord and a greater love for the Lord. And I'm saying, man, I want to get there too. But it's not that I can, not that you're running to beat me, but your running encourages me. And I hope my running encourages some of you. We find, another thing we notice about this passage of Scripture is that there is an encouraging crowd, a group of people in the grandstands who are encouraging us on and encouraging us to run faster, encouraging us to be stronger, encouraging us to hold on, hold on, hold on. That passage of Scripture starts, therefore, seeing we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. Now, when you see the word therefore in Scripture, You need to find out why it's there for. And in that passage of Scripture in chapter 12, it says, therefore, since you are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, and what he was talking about was all these guys in chapter 11. They are encouraging you, and they are, not only are the people in this congregation encouraging you, but those people who have gone on before you are encouraging you. Noah is saying, don't give up. I know it's a long time. He built the ark. It took him like 100 years. And he did it all in faith. As far as we understand, it had never rained on earth before. That the earth was, the water came up from the ground. Dew and mist covered the ground. We don't know. So in order for Noah to build an ark because it was going to rain, it was kind of like, man, that guy's a nut. Right? And you know what? There's a lot of people who are going to look at you and say, man, you're a nut. Because you're doing things, you're running the race in faith. You can't see it. You can't see the end, but you know it's there. And so you're running your race, and people around you, the world is going to say, man, you're a nut. And that's okay. I'm going to be a nut for Jesus. Okay? And it's okay. It's okay. Keep running your race. Don't let anybody discourage you because you've got Noah, you've got Abraham, you've got Rahab, you've got Jacob, you've got all these guys mentioned in chapter 11 who are saying, go! Don't quit! It's worth it! Don't give up! Keep on going! Go for the gold! Go for the gold! Go for the gold! Keep, and they're hollering. They, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, they're purported to have the loudest crowd. 12th man. And sometimes they're hollering so loud the quarterback can't even call his play. They can't hear what's going on. But they're nothing compared to the crowd that's hollering at you. I wish we could hear them. I wish we could hear them. I wish we could hear them. And not only that, your brothers and sister, my mom, I believe with all my heart, my mom and dad and my brother are looking over the portals of heaven and they're saying, Brad, you don't know what it's like. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't stumble. Don't fall. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. A few weeks ago, I mean, some of you were here when I asked Isaiah to come up and help me preach this message. I said to Isaiah, it's getting close to Christmas, and wouldn't it be nice to have 20 extra dollars to spend on Christmas? He said, it sure would. I said, would you believe me if I told you that I had $20 that I wanted to give you? He said, nope. And it took me 15 minutes, I'm sure, to convince him I had $20 that I wanted to give him. But I wasn't going to give it to him until he believed. And while I was doing that, I heard some of you saying, just believe, just believe, just believe. And others were saying, you can trust him, you can trust him, you can trust him. And I believe that's what they're doing in heaven for us. Just believe. Just believe. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. There's a race. You're getting encouragement from the grandstands also. You need to keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the goal. When I was in high school, playing football. That's been many years ago. But I remember our Friday afternoon time when we would just supposed to be focusing on the game. We had, they would feed us. And it was every Friday before the game, they would feed us the same thing. Tea, taters, toast, and roast. That's what they'd feed us. Every time. tea, taters, toast, and roast. But we would, in Mississippi, football is a big deal. And you would think you would be like in a Super Bowl game on Friday nights. Because everybody was there and they're cheering you on. But on Friday afternoon, I mean, it was quiet. And we were supposed to be focusing on the game. We were supposed to be thinking about the plays that would be called. And also thinking about what our job was when that play was called. We were also, if we were on defense, we were thinking about how to close the end down or close the gap so that the guy running through couldn't get through. We were focusing on our job so that we could win the game. We were focusing on winning. We were imagining that we're going to win this game. Imagining we're going to win this game. Now, if you thought you were going to lose, guess what? You're going to lose. But you began thinking about winning and you began imagining winning, and eventually what's going to happen is that you learn how to come against those opponents and those obstacles that are going to keep you from winning. And so you're imagining, okay, so in the Christian race, you're keeping your eyes on the goal, you're focusing on the goal, and you're saying, okay, what are the things that could be an obstacle for me? That would hinder me from reaching the goal. And so you think about those things and you begin making plans in place so that you can overcome those obstacles. You need to understand this. You will not ever be able to reach your goal by yourself. You can't do it. You need the church family to come along beside you. You cannot reach it by yourself. And the second thing is that you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the focus. He says, keeping your eyes on Jesus, who initiates our faith and sustains our faith. Keep your eyes on Him. Was He victorious? He was victorious. And we can learn from Jesus' example so that we can be victorious too. And you may say, well, He was God's Son. Well, He had it, yeah. But you know what? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew God's Word. And He prayed like that was His only hope. Exactly. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew God's Word. And He prayed like that was His only hope. He didn't use His God card to win the race. He came as a full human being when He was here on earth. And He did not take out His God card and say, oh, I'm going to. No, we get to run the same race. And so He was an example for us. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to know God's Word. And we need to pray like that's our only hope. And here's what happens when we do that. The Lord comes along beside us and He says, whoo, let's race together. You racing with me? Yeah, I'm racing with you. Keep your eyes on me. I'm going to show you how it's done. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll show you how it's done. Keep your eyes on Him. He's the perfect one. He knows how to do it. And if you want to win, if you want to be victorious, you're not racing against Jesus, hallelujah. You're not racing against Billy Graham, hallelujah. You're in your own race, but Jesus said, I'm going to come along beside you, and I'm going to run with you. Keep your eyes on Him. He'll show you how to do it. Keep your eyes on Him. Another thing we find out in this passage of Scripture is that every encumbrance needs to be removed. Have you ever tried to run with a backpack on or weights on your ankles or that? How's that working for you? Scripture says, it says in verse 1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. When I was a youth, I lived in Loosedale, Mississippi. We would often have lock-ins over at Dauphin Way Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. Now, Dauphin Way had roller rink, they had basketball court, they had swimming pool, they had a bowling alley. You name it, they had it. And so we would go over there and they would lock us in. They call it a lock-in because they'd lock in. You couldn't get out. So all night long you had to stay in the building and just rotate and do what you want to do. One time I was on the roller rink. A really good friend of mine, I thought, decided it would be fun to throw a volleyball net out in front of my skates. And you know what happened? Bam! Hit my chin, busted it open, blood going everywhere. I think about that, and I think about this passage of Scripture. It says, the sin can trip you up. Sin can trip you up. All of us have either half sin or half sin that trips us up at times. So I want to ask you a question. How many in here used to have a sin that tripped them up and they couldn't seem to get past that, but now they have overcome it? I want to see your hands. Look around. Everybody look around. Look around. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I'm going to lift both my hands. I had more than one. It kept tripping me up, tripping me up, tripping me up, tripping me up. He said, and listen, if you guys, these who are, hey, raise your hand, can overcome that sin in their life, so can you. So can you. So can you. Overcoming every sin that trips you up and every weight that weighs us down. What's that talking about? You know, some things aren't sin to us, really. They're just time wasters. I used to be addicted to the TV. Watching TV. Isn't that crazy? Man, what a waste of time. There are some people who are addicted to video games. There's nothing wrong with most of video, or some video games, I guess. Some video games. But there are some people who are addicted to that. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But what it does, it distracts you from the goal. It distracts you from being all you can be. It distracts you from racing. I want to encourage you, lay aside every weight that so easily distracts you so that you can run with endurance. A lot of people who don't run with endurance because they're so distracted with other things. And they get their mind and their focus on all this other stuff, and so they can't run with endurance. I want to encourage you, lay aside every weight and sin, every weight that distracts you and every sin that so easily entangles you and trips you up. I'll talk really quickly. I'm not going to go into it, but I want to talk a little quickly about the reward. And we'll just read a few passages of Scripture. The trophy, the ring, the victor's crown. Revelation 2:7, to everyone who overcomes are victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Revelation 2:11. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. 2:17. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Revelation 2:26-28. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father. Wouldn't that be awesome to have the same authority that Jesus had? They will receive the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star, Revelation 3:5. All who are victorious will be clothed in white, and I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Revelation 3:12. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Revelation 3:21. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Revelation 21:7. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be. Doesn't that make you want to just run? Run for the gold? Capture the prize? Be victorious? What are you trying to be victorious over? Well, this is it. You need to be victorious over sin, over the flesh, over the world, and over the devil. You need to be victorious over sin, which is the flesh, those fleshly desires that you're just born with, that like, man, I just want to go there because what I like to do. That's nothing to do with the devil. That's your own fleshly desires. Okay? So you need to overcome those fleshly desires. You need to overcome the world. The world is always enticing you, throwing things at you to try to get you to sin. And the third thing is you need to overcome the devil. So let me ask you, how are you doing with your overcoming? How are you doing? I'm encouraging you. I'm not getting on to you. I'm not railing against you. I'm just trying to encourage you because we've got a race to run. And I want every single one of us here to have the victor's crown. When we get to heaven, I want to see that victor's crown on your head. Woo-hoo! We're going high five, man. Come on! You see, Jesus is our hope. He is our joy. He is our crown. And if you want to be filled with Jesus, you need to just run the race with Him. Run the race with Him. One last thing. One last thing, if I can find it. Everyone is invited to join the race. Everyone. We find in verse 2 that Jesus is the champion. He's the one who initiates the faith in us. Did you know you couldn't receive Christ unless He put that faith in you to do that? Jim, Jesus did that to you and for you. He's the one who gave that to you. You couldn't even receive Christ unless Christ initiated that in you. He also sustains the faith. And so here's the deal. You may be sitting here today and thinking, I want to trust Jesus. Guess what? He's the one that gave that to you. You may be sitting here and say, man, I want a relationship with God. Jesus is the one who gave that to you. He initiated that faith in you. Now you have a choice. You can say, you know what? I don't want that faith. I don't want to have a relationship with God. Every single one of us here, not in the world, was born with the desire to love and to be loved. Every single one of us. Every one of us want to be loved. Every one of us want to love someone. Every one of us. But many people throughout life have been hurt by those they thought loved them. And so they project that on God and say, God, that's who you are. If there was a God out there, he wouldn't let me be hurt. So they turn away. And some people never find their way back, because they began to substitute other things for what they really desire is God's love. You've seen it. You know people who are doing it. You may be doing it yourself. Deep down, God is drawing you. Probably all of us have been hurt in relationships. And if we close down, we will never be able to have a good relationship. If we just kind of block ourselves in and never go past the hurt, we will never have a good relationship. And God's waiting. He's the one who can fill those voids. He's the one who can have that, can you can experience that relationship, that love relationship that you've always been looking for. And you may say today, listen, I want to be in the race because I want that relationship. Others of you here today are in the race, but you've been stumbling really badly. You're really not going very fast or very far because you continue to let other things get in your way. I want to encourage you today, make a decision at the beginning of this year. Make a decision that I'm going to allow Jesus to be number one. I'm going to keep my focus on him. And I'm going to let these other things go by the wayside. I release them. Father, I come before you this morning. Lord, you've encouraged me. Lord, I want to run the race. And I want to run with everything in me. God, I confess that there are some things, that some weights sometimes that get in my way. So, Lord, I ask your forgiveness and help me, remind me, when those weights begin attaching or I begin to focus on other things, remind me what I need to do and where I need to be. Lord, I pray for this congregation. And, Lord, I pray that by the end of this year, that we'd be so much further ahead that we would just be a light to the neighboring area. And we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to come to the front. If you want to just come and connect, reconnect yourself to the Lord, and you want to just do it between you and the Lord, the altar is open. If you need somebody to pray with you, then I will be here to do that. And so as we stand and sing, you don't even have to wait till the music starts. You can.
Jesus, there's just something about that name.